At Outback Steakhouse, we start every day fresh to create the flavors our mates crave. Visit Outback Steakhouse in Plano and enjoy mouthwatering steaks, seasoned and seared to perfection. Or try our grilled chicken, ribs, or fresh seafood. Don't forget to try our world-famous Bloomin' Onion while you're there. Make dinner delicious tonight. Head to Outback Steakhouse, located at 1509 North Central Expressway on the southbound access road between 15th and 16th Street in Plano. Also now offering delivery. Aussie rules!
Going to move in a different direction, but we're going to make sure we get back in that area of Psalms 115. And we're going to talk a little bit more closely about those first six verses concerning us as being men and women of God. We're walking before the kingdom of God, believing, declaring, decreeing that He's always in position, always there. And anything we do, whether it be us exercising our gifts to one another, just having prayer, and knowing that God's making breakthrough, we got to look to knowing it's Him that's doing this, not us. We can't take authority of it. We're going to actually get ourselves a position. It's a pleasure for you guys to be with me this morning. Of course, coming up at 9:45, we got the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, is coming up. He's always got a great word that's coming from the kingdom. As of right now, it's just a blessing for you guys to be with me on the station this morning to hear what the word of God is speaking this morning. We're going to do some real serious teaching this morning. We're going to get into just the, we're going to set on Psalm 115. Set on it. We're going to really set on it. We're going to facilitate the fact that idols are untrustworthy versus God's trustworthiness. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, and we're going to get ourselves in position to know that, hey, the one and true God, the one and true glory is given to God and not anyone else. It doesn't matter who we are or where we are, what position we are, all honor goes to the kingdom of God. Father God, we thank You. We bless You on this morning, Father God, as we go forth. We ask You to illuminate, transform, declare, and decree. Speak the word of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask You to move according to Your Holy Spirit. We ask You to bless according to Your Holy Spirit. Father God, we ask You to enter in, Father God, that which You have already designed and engineered in us. Father God, You say greater than He that is in us and He that in the world, that He is You, Father God. So we ask You, Father God, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that He done on the cross, Father God, that You solidify our minds and our hearts and let us look more in depth to what You have had and declared us to understand and know about You more this morning. Father God, our relationship will grow more and more and closer to You in Your perfect and mighty and omnipotent and mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord. Amen. Turn time on this speaker. I get a little put, you know, just kind of, you know, roll with me. You know, it's some adjustments that we got to do on this system. And it's a great system. I mean, it's a beautiful system. It runs international grade. But let's look at the word over here now. Psalms chapter 115. And let's just look at the, let's concentrate ourselves on the first 1:15. And let's look at the process. It says, "It's not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth sake." Let's look at it over here. We're going to go to the Good News Translation. We're going to work between the Good News Translation and the King James, first of all. We're going to get some understanding. We're going to kind of flip it to the what we call the Derby Translation, and we're going to get some good understanding out of that also. I want to flip over to the Derby Translation. We're going to get that right quick. But let's look at the Good News Translation over here. And it says, "To you alone, O Lord, to you alone, and not to us, must glory be given because of your consistent love and faithfulness." That says a whole lot. You know, whatever God's doing something for me and you in our life, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, he woke us up this morning, gave me a chance, gave me opportunity to breathe a breath that I even though my comatosis and sleeping at night, I didn't know I was going to be here today. But through the finger of love, the first thing I did when I opened my eyes and saw the light outside, even when it was dark, I said, "Thank you, Lord." And I looked over and looked around my house, and I saw everybody was secure and everybody was safe. And I said, "Thank you, Lord." And I said, "Now it's time for me to continue to move and do what you called me to do. And that is to get up and bring the word to your people that have the same instructions and feeling that when they rise up in the morning, Father God, all glory and honor belongs to you. Because there wasn't anyone else who woke us up. It was you, you only alone. It wasn't because we had the event today or circumstance or something to go or something to do. Because if it wasn't for the finger of love to wake us up, we never would have rose up. So many people go into the sleep and they never even get up in the morning. But as they God touched you with the finger of love, and he allowed me and you to raise up and see this particular beautiful day in which you laid. The Bible itself, you know, you hear the song say, "This is the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it." It's a whole lot to say that. Because everything we do is coming from the kingdom of God. When it's coming from the kingdom of God, we trust and believe and declare and decree that everything in our life belongs and is to him. We give all the glory. Let's look over here again. Let's look at the area of this particular area. I just want to kind of set on this a little bit. And it talks about here in the New King James International. This is the New King James International. But if y'all don't mind, I want to switch that New King James up. It's a familiar reader to the actually King James version, but I want to go to what's called the Lexham. It's called a Lexham English Bible. It's a LEB Bible. Most of you may have it, you may not, but let me read from the first part. It says, "Not to us, O Yahweh, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your loyal love, because of your faithfulness, why should the nation say, where, pray, tell, is God?" Sound like it's a little ebonic there, but it's amazing. Why should the nation say, where, pray, tell, is the God? But our God is in heaven, and all the desires he does. There's idols in silver or gold. And it's in the fourth verse. We're going on down. This is in the Lexham study. The idols are silver and gold, the works of hands of men. Notice what they're saying, that what we cherish sometimes. You know? It's so easy to get into new stuff. And I'm not saying it ain't nothing wrong with having it. It's nothing wrong with having prosperity. It's nothing wrong with somebody preaching prosperity to you, as long as you understand the purpose of why you're receiving it. If you're not receiving it in such a way to be greed or overwhelming to the point you look down on your brothers and sisters, then fine. No, it's vainglory what kills Christ. It's vain achievement that kills Christ. It doesn't kill him, but it makes him feel a little dishonored towards you because you feel a lot of your self-achievements about yourself and you did it for your own. But that's not true. That's not true at all. God never gave you the heart and the opportunity, the life to live, that you'll come down here and overachieve the Creator. Everything we do, everywhere we walk, everything we say, every breath we breathe is all through the mercy and graces of the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about a strong verse. And it talks about the over in the book of Matthew. You want to go to the book of Matthew with me? Let's talk about the book of Matthew. We got some things in the book of Matthew. want to make some things, just kind of set some stuff off here and make sure we're going to get a good, get started this morning. And let's hear what the word is speaking. I love to just kind of, you know, marinate in what he's doing. And I'm looking at something here. I'm going to make sure, I'm going to mark something here because I want to get back to it. And before I get into it, let's go over to the book of Matthew. Let's look at the book of Matthew. And let's go to Matthew 12. Let's look at Matthew 12. Let's see here. Let's go with it. Let's pull this up. Look at Matthew 12. Let me see some of Matthew 12. One is I'm going to look at Matthew 12 because it's something that I really need to touch on in Matthew 12. I want to get over there right quick. Matthew chapter 12. We have time here. I want to make sure we take our time here and just look at this. Let's look at 12. Let's say Matthew 12. Let's look at this. Let's go. Going to change up on you guys. We just this is something I'm going to come back to the Matthew 12, but I want it just, you know, I'm moved by the Holy Spirit. I want the Lord to show me in me because I'm going through Scripture. He's saying, "Oh, let's go ahead. You can do this, do that." Let's start off and let's go to Luke 11. Let's look at some things in Luke 11, and let me see what the Holy Spirit is telling me here. First of all, when I look at Luke 11, I tell you what. We're gonna stay with twelve. Let's get on into 12. The word of God says in Matthew 12. Notice what he says. He says, "Take heed that you do not your arms before. Take heed that you not do your arms." Notice what he's saying. "Take heed that you not do your arms before men." I mean, you know, your good deeds, the things that you want to gain accolade for. The things you want people to look upon you for is meant a little bit more than what you are. You know, everything you do, whether it be for man, whether it be achievements, is all through the glory of God. In other words, don't make a platform before men that you may receive the popularity or the public's opinion or their glory or their vain glory. Because the glory is not from them, it's from God. He says, "Take heed that you not do your own before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do it, these alms, do not sound trumpets." No, don't make a lot of noise. Don't let anybody know that you got it going on. You know, sometimes God wants you to do things quietly, behind the scene. Not saying that, you know, he wants you to hide, but he wants you to know that all your blessings and all your help came from him. He wants you to really know that. He goes on down here and he talks about the process of just, you know, those particular two verses. And I want to move a little swiftly through here, but I'm gonna kind of read on down here a little bit. And I'm looking at the third verse. "But when you do with alms, let your left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Then alms may be secret." Look what it says in the fourth verse. "Then alms may be in secret, and thy Father which is in secret himself should reward you what openly." You heard the service. The psalm says, you know, you go into your secret place and pray and ask God, and, you know, as you pray for him in private, then he rewards you openly. Or what is he saying there, Apostle? Don't do things to flirt, to flirtate, to make you seem a little bit more than you are. You know, flamboyance, as we say. A lot of times we say you think you look cocky. You know, that's just the way it is. I just gotta keep it straight right here. You think you're a little bit better than everybody else. You think because you boast, because you're good, the things you have, you got a little this, you got a little that. You look at yourself as being a little bit more stylish. You think you're higher than everybody else. But God declared the creed that, you know, don't get caught up in what we call vainglory. Don't get caught up in what physical repetition. Things that seem good that give man pleasing and pleasing. Let your honor be known, true enough, but your honor is not done to the point that you have, you know, like your brain is stuck somewhere. Like anybody around you, like you're not good enough to be around. You have a lot of that. You know, a lot of people look at things, think they're a little bit more higher than you, a little bit better than you are. And the God never made you better than anybody. You were made from the dirt just like everybody else. And the dirt you come, the dirt you'll go. And you're not going to take anything with you. The most achievements you have accomplished is going to fade away because somebody else is coming on the scene anyway. So when we look at history, look at things like this, not saying we're supposed to study history or understand history, but the Lord said, hold, I'll be a new thing. In other words, in the dispensation that you're in, that's a new thing that God had for you to do in the season you're in. And what you capture in the life of those individuals, why you here on earth as being a kingdom representative, stands with God. Don't stand as much as man. It stands heavy with God. See, man will erase your record after a while because another comes along. They say records and achievements are made to be broken. History is things we look upon to get a glimpse of what the future should be and where we come from. But there's nothing wrong with going back in time and seeing the things that you used to do. I was talking to one of my good friends yesterday down in Ohio. He's a good coach of mine, and most of you know him. We were talking about the days that we ran track, this, that, and the other. He was saying he had reunions. He's trying to get reunions together to kind of bring back the nostalgic things that we'd done back in the early 80s, you know, where we were running track and we was out there on the field and doing this, that, the other. And then we look at the track clothing now. You know, it's totally different. The shoe wear, everything is different. The run style, the coaching, everything is totally different. They're a little bit more lighter. They're a little more faster, a little more quicker than what we are. We had basically, we had basic stuff. We had basic stuff. Nobody was engineering our shoes or anything. Well, what are you saying, Apostle, here? When God began to do things in your life, he don't want you to walk around. Once he brings you up in the dispensation of the time that you're living in, the gift that you have for the season you're going through, he never wants you to boast on yourself. He goes on and says over in the fifth verse of the book of Matthew. I'm going to go back over to 1:15, but I'm going to stay right here in this. It's Matthew 6 and 5 right now. And when you pray it, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. You know, sometimes we see people praying out loud. We want to see people the style of their prayer and how they pray. But it's this little old person over in the corner just really concentrating on the Lord. The Bible does say lift up yourself like a lift up your voice like a trumpet. But see, God only knows what's in the inside of you when you lift up your voice. Is there vain lifting up? Or is there lifting up to appease and please God? Or some people get in church, they only clap when somebody else is clapping. Or they only say amen when somebody else is saying amen. Now, sometimes you go into those services. One service I went into was speaking to about close to a thousand people, and I looked up in there, and one or two, maybe 30, 40, 50 people was clapping. It's not that I had to worry about that, because my job was coming to deliver a word. It was a straight word. It was a hard word. It was a kind of strict word, but I had to bring it too, because so many people are so used to hearing what they call things that tickle their ears and make them jump for joy. And sometimes you really just got to lay it down, the seriousness about Christ, the things that Christ has come to do, the problems that deal with your life and my life. How can we escape the loopholes that hold us by performing? And then we find ourselves being faded away, pushed away, because we don't find ourselves in a position of where we really need to be. We keep on trying to appease and please people. Social networks is one of the biggest things out there. If you get on it for another reason, then you're on it for the wrong reason. He says once again in this particular fifth verse, in this Matthew 6 and 5, and when you pray, thou shalt be not as the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or in the church and in the corners of the streets, want to be seen, then they may be seen of men. See, they want to accolade for men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So they want reward for man. If you give them a reward for man, that's what the kind of reward they want. You know, they want to get that kind of reward for the award that's going to fall off, that's going to fade. They never get any kind of honor from the kingdom of God. Some people want that type of reward. They want to be known and seen by men. We got to go ahead to the area of we're just teaching this morning. We're not trying to be all extravagant. We want to teach you some of the basic things that most of us don't know. So when we go into the house of God, it's a certain way we ought to carry ourselves when we're in the house of God, that our repetitions and our ways and things we do, we pray that God gets all of the glory. When you come into the house of God, nobody eats first but God. That means you're going to the house and give God the praise and worship. If you want to really see the power of God moving around, open your hands and open your mouth. I'm telling you, those are two things that get you more blessings than you ever thought you would ever have in your entire life. And the man of God who's carrying that particular load into that house got to know how to handle it when God begins to dump semi-loads of information, finance, things in that house. He can't run off and be able to live like the world and have himself a little bit more higher than everybody's. He's got to still be on the same level. And the money that God brings him, he's got to understand he's got to use that for the future action of where the church is going. It's not for him to live in the established way. There's some ministers who take salaries. There's some ministers who don't take salaries. But the ones who do take salaries can't take their salaries beyond to the point that they're a little bit more higher on the styles better than everybody else. You can't do that. That's not the way it should be. You know, you ought to live equal to the ones who are in the church with you, that in the midst of you being a leader, you ought to continue to bring them information from the kingdom to help them move in the direction that they're moving in. Watch them prosper rather than you prosper. I don't know a parent that wants to see the kids do better than them. I never known that. And there may be some out there that want to do better than their kid. They want their kids to do lousy. And I've seen that before. I had to deal with that in the lives of people. You know, how the parent continue to talk down on the kid, continue to push the kid down and say negative things about them. But that's not right. I mean, that's not right in the eyesight of God. The word God talks about, parents don't provoke children, children don't provoke the parents. Be obedient to your parents, your days will be long. It's a price you got to pay on that. Let's go over in this particular area of the Good News Translation back in the book of Psalms 115. So I said, I'm not going to do it this long this morning. We want to break down and just look at the process of this particular teaching, this particular word that's coming from the kingdom of God. And as you go down into this area 115, it gets a little bit more interesting in the Good News Bible. Let's look over here in the area of the second verse, and that's going down to the sixth verse. Notice what it says. That's where they catch the words in the pockets of the conversation in the pauses and parentheses. And look what God says. Why should the nations ask us? This is the people we are. We are with God's people. We're never supposed to be asked about the God. We're supposed to show who the God is in us. The Bible said, be separated from them of the world, that you may be separated to do the work of the kingdom. That's what the word of God declared, that you shouldn't go down to doing the work of the world over the work of the kingdom. God will provide you work, jobs, and things you need. But when you get those things, don't let that particular position take you to the point that pull you away from the Lord. And a lot of times we have that. We have men of God who got to take care of themselves, that woman got to take care of themselves, and they got to work at night. There's nothing wrong with that. But it still, we have stations like I have now that runs 24/7. It still don't make you subject to the point that you don't got to listen to hear what the Lord has to say. That's no excuse for that. You still got a way to get the word. It still got an itch in you. He says over in the third verse, he said, O God in heaven, he does whatever he wishes. Their gods are made of silver. Now he puts a separation. You go back to the second verse. Why should the nation ask, where is God? Our God is in heaven. That's why our God is. It's certainly not here on earth, because he's going to tell you about the kind of earthly gods are down there. Where's your God? Their God is down there on earth. Our God is in heaven, says in the third verse. He does whatever he wishes, and he does, because he's the chief and commander over the whole universe, the whole world is his, all his. Their God is made of silver, gold from the hands of man. Everything a man made to worship, whether cars, houses, homes, jobs, circumstances, situations, whatever, even human beings they put up before others. You know, some people cherish basketball players. Some people cherish football players. Some people just cherish different leaders. You know, it's whatever you put your trust in. You trust that they're going to do it, prepare to be let down. If it's of this world and it walks and it moves around this world and it's of this world, prepare to be let down. Because it's not that God said he's not a God that he should lie, not a son of a man that he should have to repent. He's been given the commandment to bless, and he cannot reverse it. What he's getting you to understand, you got to cast all your cares on him. God wants you to turn them into a leaning post. Now, you may go out and talk to men and women because you're going through a certain thing, these psychologists, this, that, and the other. But God said, ultimately, you got to be able to lean on him. When you lean on him, he'll show, declare, decree, and speak according to the word of God that in your life is really more than what you can see. Look at this over here in the eighth verse. Fifth verse. Little dog getting loose back there. Is it a mouth? Is it, they have mouths. They have mouth but cannot speak, their eyes that cannot see, which is true. You know, houses, cars, homes, money, whatever. They don't have any kind of communication back to us other than what we give it. We know what dollars are used from, we know what cars are used from. They don't tell us to drive us, that we go to them. And then we go to them, they can't talk back to us. You got people got the cars, a certain name, Betsy, Sheila, this, that, and the other. You know, my bank, my loot, you know, whatever. You know, whatever they call it. You know, they want to name it. He said, a mouse, they have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. And noses, but they cannot smell. Now, let me take you something about man's, his statue, his system, his thing. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians and look at 1 Corinthians, and you look at the process of how the Apostle Paul brings into play about the supernatural power and the supernatural move of God himself. He makes it very clear in the midst of all that he's doing that it's all through him. It's not vainglory. It's through the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. He makes it very clear. He goes over the ninth verse over in the book of Psalms, where, 1 Corinthians, in that particular ninth verse, he said, but it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor is it into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that what love him. Now, let's go back to 115. Look at 115. Look what type of gods they are serving. He said, their mouths cannot speak, their eyes cannot see, they have ears but cannot hear, and noses that cannot smell. They have hands but they cannot feel, and feet but they cannot walk. We're talking about the man-made image of structure of mortar or silver, like he says over here. They're made from different kind of earthly materials. But we look at how we were made. We was created in the image of Christ. We're made in the image to serve Christ. And the Word of God makes it very clear through the model prayer, our Father who are in heaven is really the top structure, obeying the commandments and obeying the Word of God and walking circumspectly and then knowing the power we have to make other disciples in the earth. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice what he's saying. He gives us the model instruction how we should carry ourselves while we're here on earth and being representatives of the kingdom of God. So Paul says over in the book of chapter 115 of the book of Psalms, he makes it very clear that what I have gave you, the eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, nor can be in the hearts of any man, the things that God has in store for you. That's 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, between 8, 9, 10. But it goes on down and says, for a man knows the things of the man, but no man knows the things of the spirit, because they are spiritually done. That man's really got to save the spirit that's what's in him. But it goes and says something quite strong here. He said that in the fifth verse, he said, they have mouths that cannot speak. See, all this is revelation of the spirit. They can't speak, so they can't call out to God. They can't eyes, because they can't see they can't see in the spirit. They have ears, they cannot hear. They surely can't hear what the Holy Ghost has to say. That's Romans 10:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. I mean, talking about nose, talking about the sweet smell and aroma of Christ. Of course, you know, stretch forth your hands. Your hands is always, and they talk about the seventh verse, they have no hands, they cannot feel. You know, God tells our hands are like a worshiper. It's like an antenna to heaven. It beacons God when we lift our hands. Our feet is always in a position to move to what God is in the church. If I say it cannot stand, it cannot sound, they cannot make a worship sound to God, they cannot do anything. But I say, but he said, may all who made them and who trust in them, because like an idol they are made, they have made. Let's say that again in the 8th verse. May all who made them, who trust in them, become like an idol. You become like an idol. And you know what happens to idols? It's just a matter of time. They begin to crumble and deteriorate. And they begin to come to the point they're not trustworthy anymore, where they never should have ever been. But in the eyes of a vain person, a fool that says there's no God, they'll believe in them. He says once again in the 8th verse, all who made them and who trust in them become like idols they have made. That means you come more appointed to what you like. The thing that brings more attention to your life, you hear the serve said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Some people leave here hanging on to their stuff. They have no general idea what the kingdom of God has in store for them other than what they have in front of them. Their house, their homes, their cars, their bank account. Believe I know what I'm talking about because I've seen it happen with my own eyes. They want to hang on to their loot, their things, their stuff. That's what they miss. They don't even miss their parents or miss their children or sisters or brothers. They miss the things that they won't be able to enjoy anymore when they were here on earth. The Bible says in the 9th verse, trust in who? The Lord. You people of Israel, it's a warning to Israel as well, and that's to us as well. Trust in the Lord, you people of Israel. He helps you, protects you. Trust in the Lord, you priest of God. You talk about the priest, go in the book of Ezekiel, look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. We talk about some of the things, the heinous things that priest was doing behind the wall. When Ezekiel said, go look, the Lord told Ezekiel, look into the wall and see what the priests are doing behind closed doors. He says, once again, in the 10th verse, trust in the Lord, you priest, you God, the priest of God. He helps you and protects you. Trust in the Lord, all you that worship him. It's more than you just saying it. It's really something that we all need to do. When we're going through changes, circumstances, the Bible says, who do you believe? If he told you he's a God of the impossibility, or he's a God that he would not lie, or he's a God that owned a cattle of 1,000 hills, or he's a God to trample over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, he gave you power, if he'll protect you, according to Psalms 91, if you go through valleys and shadows of death, like it says in Psalm 23, then he's your protector, he's your provider. Everything you need is in him. But you got to be able to wait, have patience, and know that God is not going to move when you say move. He's going to move when your heart moves. The Bible says in the 12th verse, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. God don't forget. He will bless the people of Israel and all the priests of God. He will bless everyone who honors him. The great and small, it doesn't matter what you are, what you're going through, what you've been dealing with. You know how people look at your life? You got to believe and understand that in your life, Christ has a plan for you. I don't know if you're on the line listening on this particular morning, but I'll tell you, it's always a good time for prayer for those who want to apostle, pray for us. I'll be going through some changes in our family. We got some issues. We just really want you to pray for us and keep us lifted up. Hey, look, the doors or the time that is open right now, you can call in at 619-393-6478. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, don't miss your opportunity. As of right now, those of you on the line, blessings to each and every one of you. All you have to do is call 619-939-6478. Once again, that's the call in. It's just a number. You don't know how your life will change just by making a simple phone call and hearing what the Lord has to say to help you move forward in your life. Get a double portion today. Get it at your church. Get on the radio station here with this apostle and hear what the word of God has to say. 619-393-6478. He's never one of you that's calling on the line this morning. That's up there. Just push the little number one button. It'll bring you right into the service. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. For these people are on the line, Father God, although the line hand hasn't went up, but Father God, we ask you to look over them, cherish them, keep them, bless them, Father God, by your mighty word, by your mighty name, by your presence, by your power, by the orchestrating reveal of your illumination and your Holy Ghost. Father God, I ask you to free them from every condition in their body. Whatever may be this in their finances, Father God, rectify their decree and line it up according to the Spirit, Father God. Even in their household, Father God, I command by the Holy Ghost. That even as we pray, Father God, they continue to have our understanding and realize that you are God and beside you there's no other. Touch the very friends and the people I talked with on last night from the very calamities and destruction that's going on in their life. Knowing to you, Father God, you are God in heaven. And I'm telling you, Father God, there's nothing too hard for you to do. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that even as we pray, Father God, you're doing something in the lives of your people that never has ever been done before, and that's introducing them to the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. But when they walk and move, Father God, they'll learn to trust on you. they'll learn to trust in you, knowing through you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. I decree the word right now in the name of Jesus. I declare the word, Father God. I'm asking you to touch them according to your purpose, your power, your glory, and everything you declared in their life, Father God. Let them move according to the Spirit. And as they move according to the Holy Ghost, Father God, give them direction, give them wisdom, give them knowledge. Let them understand and realize you are in heaven. And Father God, we need not the most on the very things that are around us. Because Father, we know how provider and provision is. It all comes from you. And even as you tell us, Father, that I acknowledge you each and every morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Father God, we're in your will, Father God. And we thank you, Father, Father, in this moment. As we go out to our various churches, various places of worship, Father God, let us understand and realize in our life, Father God, we come into the hospital. And when we come in there, Father God, inject us with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. As I give you reverence and give you praise. I honor you in the name of Jesus. I continue to lift you up. I ask you to help me, show me, guide me, and direct me. What we call this tedious journey. Father God, I decree the word, I declare it, I speak it according to the Spirit. And I believe, Father God, in the midst, Father God, there is not a weapon. It can't be formed. It can't be designed or engineered against the very bodies of the people of God that shall prosper. But you are elevated in a season, Father God. They may know and understand that you are God. Father God, we speak these things, not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord. Amen. Such a blessing for you guys to be with this morning, all of you on the line, even though that wasn't a personal prayer, but yet we pray for you all the time. We lift you up. We keep you before the Lord. And Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the woman of God is coming up at 9:45. Give her the rhema of information that you need to give her, that she may pull through with a word of valor to the people of God. Father God, these things we knock not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Lord. Amen.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with breakfast favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the Sausage McGriddles, Small McCafe Espresso Drinks, the Sausage McMuffin with Egg, and
a new gaming console for my son.
No, but the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one. Wait, isn't your son 5 months old?
Who told you?
I just know these things.
Oh.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
At Outback Steakhouse, we start every day fresh to create the flavors our mates crave. Visit Outback Steakhouse in Plano and enjoy mouthwatering steaks seasoned and seared to perfection. Or try our grilled chicken, ribs, or fresh seafood. Don't forget to try our world-famous Bloomin' Onion while you're there. Make dinner delicious tonight. Head to Outback Steakhouse, located at 1509 North Central Expressway on the southbound access road between 15th and 16th Street in Plano. Also now offering delivery. Aussie rules!